Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A few years ago, we studied the Didache on Sunday morning for Bible study, written about the end of the first century into the second century. It showed what the early church believed and held on to, and begins with these words, the two ways. There are two ways, one of life and one of death. There is a great difference between these two ways. That's how it begins. You have two paths before you. You can either be on the path that leads to eternal damnation and death and decay and destruction, or you can walk on the path that leads to heaven, eternal life, joy, bliss, and rejoicing. Those are the only two ways. This year, our nation has been celebrating her 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. We thank God for her great preservation that He has provided to us. But as I was reviewing things, I was looking at some of the history of laws in our nation. Just in the 20th century, how much shifted and how much changed. Now, you well know that it was in 1973 that abortion became legal in all 50 states, and that's because they said that the 14th Amendment covers privacy. Therefore, a woman has the right to end the life of her baby based on privacy, therefore it's constitutional. That's literally what they used to make it legal. That's really it. The right to privacy, 14th Amendment. In 1965, and I mentioned this to Women's Bible Study earlier this week, in 1965, I read, as I was reviewing a book on government that my parents had given us, in 1965, all 50 states had anti-sodomy laws. Every state had a law against sodomy in 1965. In 1986, the Supreme Court declared that it is a state's right to have a law against sodomy. So still in 1986, now we're in my lifetime, 1965 covers many of your lifetimes as well, the Supreme Court says, yes, in fact, states can have that law. 1986. And then it was in 2003 that the Supreme Court changed its opinion and said, you know what? Actually, no. States no longer have this right, and we're going to use the 14th Amendment, the right to privacy, once again to change the laws that were made by Christians to protect society from the perversions and lies of the devil. Well, it only took 12 years. In 2015, the Supreme Court decided that marriage was going to be defined by it rather than by God. How quickly those things changed. How quickly we understood, informed by Christian morality, informed by what the Bible teaches. How quickly we digressed away from God's word down the path that leads to death and decay and destruction. That path moves quickly. It is a slippery slope, and sadly it becomes a mudslide. Solomon, filled by the Holy Spirit, wrote, "Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness, they drink the wine of violence, but your path, the path of the just, the path of the saint, made holy not by yourself, but by the word and will of God. Your path is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day, until that last day when the glory of Christ is seen by all, When all those who mocked the light of Christ in you in this life will see his glory and his light shining brightly, and they will bow the knee to him. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep your heart with all diligence. There are two ways, one that leads to death and hell, and one that leads to eternal life with Jesus. Thanks be to God, we have been set on the path that leads to Jesus. Not because we deserve it, not because we earned it, not because we were good enough, but because by his grace he has called us by his word, and the Holy Spirit keeps on moving us. Our epistle lesson today is extremely clear. St. Paul says, as I've told you in times past, I tell you again, do not walk in the ways of the flesh. Because those who do these things, and you heard the list, I'll go through just a few of them again. Those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Those who find themselves so wrapped up in these things will not go to heaven. What is that list? They're evident, St. Paul says. They're things like adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, witchcraft, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And I told you beforehand, I tell you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We live in such a depraved time that a single man apparently knows what murder is. That a single man apparently understands that the life of children is a beautiful thing not to be taken away. But we know that's not true, because you are a Christian and you know what life is. You know that God is the author of life, and you know that a mother's job and a father's job is to protect that life, and that when they are struggling, they need to get help spiritually, physically, mentally. They need Jesus. Adultery, fornication. I'm going to dig into the Greek here for a couple of these words, including the words here for sorcery or witchcraft, and the word for fornication and adultery. So in the Greek, the word for fornication and adultery is porneia. Porneia is the Greek word that shows us that these are things that lead to eternal death and destruction. In a world bombarded by porneia, by the things and lusts of the flesh, the things that distract the eyes and the heart away from that which God has declared beautiful, it's no wonder these things are somehow made legal in our nation. These are obscene. These are not designed for the Christian eyes. They are not designed for a boy's eyes or a man's eyes or a girl's eyes or a woman's eyes. These are porneia. They are not what God gives us. But our world swamps them in it. They encourage them toward it. And they make it free. This is not good. It lulls them into following after the sins of the flesh rather than chasing after the Spirit, than walking on that line of the Spirit. And think about the word for sorcery, pharmakia. Now, I'm not saying that all pharmacy is witchcraft, but just because a doctor prescribes you a drug does not actually mean that it's all good. I'm not saying you can't take medications. That's not the point. I'm not saying that there aren't truly good things in that. But I'm just saying that the word for that is pharmakeia. Take with that however you will. But we know that too. We know that we shouldn't be dabbling in witchcraft. We know that we don't need things like horoscopes or tarot cards or crystals. Rather, we need to trust in the Lord, and that these things have no place in our communities. Is it all that surprising that Massachusetts, Salem in particular, is a place where so many of these things have been discussed over the last few weeks? Where women stand around and applaud as babies can be murdered through all 9 months of pregnancy, and then we have to sit and debate whether or not it's murder after they're born? Witchcraft is another lie of the devil. These are idolatries. They are not trusting in the Lord. Now, before I get you totally down, I also want to spend some time looking at St. Paul's words in his second letter to Timothy, words that I shared through the church's Facebook earlier this week. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. It really was no surprise to see so many caught up in the lies of the devil perpetuated through the media, showing that you have a right to end your children's lives after they're born as well. It should be no surprise. It doesn't make it any less sad. This is the world that we are currently living in. And I don't know if before Jesus Christ returns, it's going to get back to a sense of normalcy, a sense of understanding, a sense of goodness, truth, and beauty. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, it better be. So many things I've seen lately of false preachers getting up in pulpits that look very similar to ours, saying all sorts of things that are against what God's Word says. The time is for the church to repent. And if our culture, if our country starts to shift back to Christianity, thanks be to God, it would be far better for our children if it did. But if it does not, the church will stand on the word. And that means you and your household will serve the Lord. You will stand on His word. You will teach your children right from wrong, not based on what society says, not based on what the devil says, but on what God's word says. You will teach your sons and your daughters that they are to be responsible, that they are not to overconsume. And you will teach them that by not overconsuming yourself, that they do not see you acting in some drunken way, but rather they see the beauty of temperance. This is not to say that you can't have a single drink if it's not going to lead to multiple drinks that lead you into drunkenness, but they should never see that on you. For God very clearly states this is another one of those things that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Gambling, lusts, all of these sorts of things that take you away from the trueness of using what God has given you as a gift to glorify His holy name. These are things that need to be put away. The works of the flesh are evident. And those who do them without recognizing the need to repent, without recognizing that Jesus Christ has died to conquer them, this is the way to death. The way to life is faith in Jesus. To be washed in the blood of the Lord. To be made clean, not because of who we are, but by who He is. St. Paul goes on in his letter to Timothy, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. I pray that even if our society doesn't see how foolish all of these depraved things are, that we in the Church of Jesus Christ, the very bride that he has purchased with his own blood, do. That we walk not in the ways of the sinful flesh, but rather in the ways of righteousness, in the ways of the Spirit. And St. Paul says, these are also evident. And so he says, walk in this way. The fruits of the flesh were those, but these are not for you, dear Christians. You have the fruit of the Spirit, and those fruits are love, or charity, joy, peace, long-suffering and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. One of the Latin words there is modestia. This is the time to dress and act modestly. I get that the world pushes half of a shirt on your tween daughter. That doesn't mean she needs to wear it. Her body is to give glory to God, and it is not for the world to see. You know there are predators out there. You know there are people that prey on the innocence and beauty of your children. Do not let them. Give them over to the Lord. Walk firm in his ways. Let them see Jesus. Against the fruits of the Spirit, St. Paul says, there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I get that temporarily it feels easier to just do what everybody else does, to just go along with it. But that is the way to destruction. Narrow is the path to eternal life. Walk like that one Samaritan leper, that one foreigner who returned and laid down his life before Jesus. Because after all, that's what the word means. He laid down in front of him, he worshiped him, and he thanked him. Let your life that has been so transformed by the Holy Spirit glorify him, praise him, thank him, that you don't have to be stuck in the lusts of your flesh. That you have new life. That as the world around you is crumbling and falls, you have joy. You have peace. Because you have Jesus. And you will live for all of eternity. And so the church sings. Yet even though I suffer the world's unpleasantness, and though the days grow rougher and bring me great distress, that day of bliss divine, which knows no end or measure, and Christ, who is my pleasure, forever shall be mine. From God can nothing move me. He will not step aside, but gently will reprove me and be my constant guide. He stretches out his hand in evening and in morning, my life with grace and adorning, wherever I may stand. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.